Sweden preach. Isn't that awesome? It's going to be very good. So I'm just going to pray for them before they start. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to hear your word and to have it explained to us. And I pray that you bless Hayden and Victoria as they speak now, would they say what you have on your heart for us. And I pray that our hearts are open to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
What about now? Hey, there we go. Okay. Morena kia koutou. It is mine and Hayden's privilege to speak to you together this morning. We're going to sort of take it in turns. So I've got the first warming up slot. So I hope you're ready to be warmed up. Have you ever thought about how much time you spend in your life doing various tasks? The average person lives for about 80 years. Of those 80 years, they will spend about 28 years sleeping, 13 years in paid employment, 9 years watching TV and on social media. I know. 4 years eating and drinking, best 4 years of my life. 3.5 years in education. 2.5 years shopping. Any online shoppers in the room? Just 2.5 years. 2.5 years grooming, having a shower, brushing your teeth, brushing your hair. 2.5 years you'll spend doing that. Anyone want to guess how many years you'll spend doing chores? 6 years of your life is spent doing chores. I know. Today's passage is really looking at how we spend a lot of our time. Two of the main things that we spend large chunks of our time doing are work and rest. And so those are the two things that we're going to be talking about today. I want to ask you, what do you think of when you hear the word work? What comes to mind? Employment? Housework? Gardening, any feeling words? What sort of feelings does that bring up? Tired? Hard?
Do I have to?
Can't be bothered? Yes.
Sore body?
Yes, absolutely. It's hard, right? That's what sort of comes to mind. I've got a little dictionary definition of work. Work is any activity that involves mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. Note that it's any activity, so it doesn't just mean paid employment. It can be mowing the lawns, running errands, looking after children, any activity that involves mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. So for the purposes of our sermon today, when we use the word work, I don't want you to just think about paid employment, but I want you to think about any of those activities, because we all do lots of different types of works in our life. So I have a narrative for myself that I would agree with you. If someone said to me, what do you think of when you think of work? I would think, oh, really? Do I have to? It's something that I think is really hard. And I think this is something that a lot of people feel. Exhibit A, when you said, what do you think of when you think of work? And we actually have this whole language that goes with a working week that supports that idea. Anyone heard of Monday-itis before? Find it hard to get out of bed on a Monday morning? Because I do. When the alarm goes off, I hit the snooze button, I think, maybe 5 or 6 times when I'm really, really tired. Monday-itis. Then we also have Wednesday hump day. I've already had 2 days at work, and now I've got 2 more days to go. When will this end? You know, I'm right in the middle of it. And then we also have Fri-yay. That's what I call it at school. I'm a primary teacher, if you weren't aware of that. And we always have fun day Friday, but Friday always makes me feel good because the weekend's coming up, and then I can relax and do the things that I really want to do. I also don't know if you have ever thought this, if you've been in a paid employment, if you've ever said to yourself, I'm not getting paid enough for this. When I was in my first year of teaching, I was doing like more than 50 hours of work a week because I didn't know what I was doing. And I was on a beginning teacher's wage or salary. Is it salary? That's the right word, eh? And I would sometimes, when I was not in a good headspace, I would sit there and think, how much am I getting paid each hour? And I would split it up. And it worked out after tax as like $7 an hour. And when there was a kid in my class who was giving me attitude, and I was thinking to myself, I am not getting paid enough for this. $7 an hour is not enough for me to be putting up with this. Our series at the moment is called Ordinary Times, because in our church calendar, there are no celebrations or festivals between Pentecost that's been and Advent that is coming up. So we are in the season of Ordinary Times. And we are looking at it through the lens of, or looking at it through Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And these books are a series of books that come after Exodus, when the Hebrew people have been living in slavery and Moses has brought them out. In these three books, they're wandering around in the desert trying to figure out who they are and trying to figure out how to live their life before they get into the promised land, which is Joshua after these three books. So these books are based on a group of people trying to figure out how to live their life, essentially. And I was thinking about, you know, at the start how I was talking about how we spend the hours of our lives. I was thinking about, I wonder what the numbers would have looked like for the Hebrew people while they were still living in Egypt. Because, well, definitely they would not have had any hours on TV or social media. Mm-hmm. And certainly they would have had a much higher number of working hours. And I spoke a few weeks ago about how the Hebrew people had been formed in the way of slavery, because they'd been living it their whole lives, and a lot of their ancestors as well. They'd been there a long time. They'd been formed in the way of slavery. And so when they came out of that and they were walking around in the desert, they had to figure out how to do life not in slavery. And that's why we have the Ten Commandments, because God is like laying out a lot of the stuff of, hey, you know, you're not there anymore, you're over here. So this is how you need to live your life. The thing we need to remember about the Ten Commandments is that they were written for a people who had two ideas that are related to what we're talking about. They had two narratives that they told themselves. They had two lenses through which they saw the world. And the first one, and these are both sort of revealed in our passage today, the first one is that work is bad. Because how can you not think work is bad when that's the thing you had to do in slavery for your whole life? That's just an association thing. So the first one, work is bad. And also, because they'd been living in slavery, do you ever think that slaves get a day off? No. So they also had this narrative of never resting. Work is bad and we never rest. That was the reality for the Hebrew people while they'd been living in slavery. And I think that this is a narrative that's our reality now as well. Because I think that work is bad deep in my mind, and I find it really hard to rest. But Jesus said when he came to the earth, he said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And when I read that, I compare living life to the full. That's a promise that Jesus said, so that must be true. I know that must be true. Compare that with work is bad. How do I hold those two ideas together? Because they don't really seem to match up. Because God's promised me fullness of life, or another way of saying that is life in abundance, life in all its fullness. But I have to work because I have to eat and I have to live. So, like, that's a reality. So they can't both. Do you see what I mean? Like, how can the fullness of life cannot exclude my work, because fullness of life is about all of my life. So how can I have the fullness of life that Jesus promised in my work? Hayden's going to bring us all the answers.
If only. Oh, we're working? Brilliant. Cool. So, as Victoria was pointing out, we have this pervasive idea in our society that we think work is bad. We think it's burdensome, and we think it's for lesser people. But if we are to marry this with, as Victoria was saying, that God offers us life and life in all its fullness, we need to rethink what work is and what better place to turn than the Bible to see what it has to say. So we're going to turn to the very first time we see work mentioned in the Bible. Anyone know where that is? Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, when God created, that's a working word, the heavens and the earth. The first thing that we ever learn about our God is that he is a worker. He creates things. And then he goes on. He splits the night and darkness. He splits the sea and the sky. And he splits the land and the sea. And then he goes on a working rampage and fills that space with all manner of things. And what does he refer to all that as? It's good. Our God created work, and he thinks it's a pretty good thing. So that's who our God is, but how does that relate to us? Well, to do that, we have to read a little bit further into the creation story. So this is Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." We're going to come back to that, so pay attention to that part. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps over the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We're one of God's works. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it." Again, those are working words. "And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." It's good stuff, eh? Good description of what we are. So the first thing I want to point out in this is that God made us in his likeness, which means we share the characteristics of God. And the first characteristic you learn of what God is he is a worker. Therefore, we are workers. So because we are made like that, it is actually part of a core part of what it means to be human, is to be a worker. And I also think that this is why unemployment or having health problems that prevent us from working is so gut-wrenching, because it's almost like you're losing a core part of who you are meant to be as a human. So let's take a look at what does this work look like. Well, we saw three words there: fill, subdue, and have dominion over it. Now, I just want to put that in a context that might be easier for us to see in our everyday life. So I'm going to give three synonyms. The first one for fill is create. God is inviting us to create things with him. The second one for subdue, well, that's just another word for order. Our world is a chaotic place. We need to be bringing order to it. And the last one, dominion, well, that's governance or maintenance. That is where we maintain the good things in the world that already exist. So I don't know about you, but sometimes when I still think of that, I still think, oh, this still feels like a burden. But we've got to remember that God is a worker. We're made in the image of God. Therefore, we are made to work. And God is good, so work must be good. See that flow? Cool. So what does this look like practically in our everyday life? I want two things I want to talk about here. So the first one is when we think about working with God, we often think about, oh, that just means everyone's got to go into church ministry. Is that, no? Oh, I'm glad you guys don't have that thought. But if everyone went into church ministry, our toilets would overflow. Our children would be illiterate because there'd be no teachers. This building, well, actually, the building wouldn't exist. Oh, yeah, you wouldn't have clothes either. You'd be naked. I really like the flowers that are down Victoria Ave. Well, that would be bare, not that a street would exist. Nothing would exist. The world would fall apart. It wouldn't be good work, would it? So whatever it is, big or small, high profile or hidden, whatever we're doing in our life, it can be good kingdom work if we do it with God. The second point, Victoria's already alluded to this, but when we talk about work, we're not just talking about our paid employment. Victoria gave this brilliant definition. Any activity involving mental or physical effort in order to achieve a purpose or result. So work is much bigger than our paid employment, though it does include it. It is everything we do that isn't resting. So that includes being a parent. That is work. Lots of work from what I understand. Taking care of older parents. That is work. Weeding your garden. That is work. Taking out the trash is work. Cleaning your toilet is work. If nobody took out the trash, then the world would become a polluted place. It's important. If nobody cleaned their toilet, then disease would spread, suffering, and that would lead to suffering, and that would lead to death. So therefore, cleaning your toilet is good work. You guys following? Cool. So good work is anything we do with God, and what it does is it leads to a good life for everyone. So I need to update this board. Oh, can you pull the cap off? Thank you. Cool. Work is not bad. Work is good. Cool. Thank you, Victoria. Now, work, the concept is good, but not all works are good. Some of the works that we put effort towards are destructive and not good. We call that sin. The definition of sin is putting effort towards something that is apart from God, seeking after that. So, for example, if you are an employee in a loan shark company that preys on the poor, God actually doesn't want anything to do with that work with you. He doesn't. If any of you guys, I hope there's none of you guys in here, if any of you guys are a weapons manufacturer, God would rather put that your skills as a production manager into something maybe like farming equipment, short swords into plowshares. If you're an electrician cutting corners, you may want to take a hard look at how Jesus would do your job. Say, for example, you have a dispute with your neighbor. Well, building a bigger fence so that you don't have to interact with them anymore is not the way that Jesus would go about dealing with that situation. So what I'm trying, have you guys heard you guys remember those bracelets that said, what would Jesus do? Yeah? It's kind of helpful, but I think a better way to look at it is, what would Jesus do if he was in my situation living my life? How would Jesus raise my kids if I was a solo mum of three? How would Jesus run my business? How would Jesus cook my meal for my family? Would he buy certain ingredients and not others? Or would he invite around the neighbors for a meal? You see, I think Jesus cares not as much about what we're doing for work, but how we are doing that work. I'll say that again. Jesus does not care about as much about what we are doing for our work. He cares about how we are going about that work. He wants to do work with us. He has made us as partners with him, and he wants to do what we're doing now with him. That's what we meant to do for the first 6 days. But what do we do, Victoria, with the 7th day?
I'm glad you asked, Hayden. So, we've talked about how work is good. And now we're going to talk about rest. A definition for rest is cease work or movement in order to relax, sleep, or recover strength. That is the definition for rest. And if we look at our passage, the passage doesn't actually say rest. The passage says is talking about Sabbath, which is a specific day. So rest is an activity that you can do, like, all the time, every day, if you want to. Whereas Sabbath is a particular day that's been put aside for rest. And in this next section, I'm going to be using both words, and a lot of the ideas can be applicable to both ideas, rest and Sabbath. I realised when I pulled out this book that I think I've quoted this guy in every single sermon that I've done, and I promise you I do read other books. John Mark Comer defines Sabbath as how we fill our souls back up with life. How we fill our souls back up with life. So when we're talking about rest, we're talking about filling our souls back up with life. And back in Genesis, we've seen that God is a worker, and we also see in chapter 2, verse 2, that on the 7th day, he rests from all work. And if God, who is the creator of all the heavens and all the earth, needs to rest, then so do we. And I think to myself, back in the passage, why did God have to command rest? Because it seems obvious to me at the end of a long day that we as humans need to rest. But it's back to that same point about how the Hebrew people had been living in slavery, that they didn't have a day off, so they didn't know how to rest. Back in Egypt, that was a space of production and a space of wanting more. Pharaoh had slaves to make all of his stuff because he wanted more. And as we know about wanting more stuff on earth, it never fills that hole. It's an insatiable desire. And so the Hebrew people were working 7 days a week to make it happen. But when they came out of that, God gives them this whole day to rest, called the Sabbath. And when we take a day as a Sabbath to rest, we are saying, I have enough. Back in Egypt, that's a space of, I don't have enough, I need more. But on the Sabbath, that's a space of, I have enough. Which makes me think back to Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. When we keep working, we are exposed to and absorb the narratives of the world. Narratives of fear, narratives of scarcity, narratives of not having enough. And when we rest, we remember who God is and we remember who we are. When we rest, we remember who God is and who we are. That's why it says in verse 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. There's a really important thing there in that word, remember, because He's saying, remember, I am God and I have provided for you. Look at all of these ways I've provided for you and know that I will keep providing for you. When we Sabbath, we allow, and when we rest, we allow God to change the narratives in our head to remind us that we have enough. I think it's really interesting that our bodies are actually designed to rest. Back at the start when I was talking about the hours that we spend on things, and 28 of those, not hours, years, 28 years of your life you will spend sleeping, literally doing nothing. That's a third. God created us to spend a third of our lives doing nothing. I think as well, when we spend more time doing stuff, when we spend more time working, that doesn't even mean that we achieve more either. Apparently in the French Revolution, they changed the 7-day working week to be a 10-day working week to get, you know, more stuff produced, and it worked out really terribly. There's also been a lot of studies done about productivity and how much we achieve. And this is what my favourite author says. Once you work a certain number of hours in a week, your productivity plummets. Want to know what that number is? 50 hours. Ironic. That's about a 6-day work week. One study found that there was zero difference in productivity between workers who logged 70 hours and those who logged 55. So that first group of workers is working 15 more hours and achieving nothing else because they need to rest. I also just want to say about rest. Oh, sorry, I should change this because just like work is good, we can see not only is it necessary, but, sorry, rest is good. I also want to say about rest that there's a difference between the things that I want to do and the things that I need to do, or the things that I want and the things that I need. For example, I've had a long day at work. It's been really tough. I come home. This is a completely hypothetical situation. I open up my laptop. I find my favourite TV program. I open up a bag of salt and vinegar chips and kiwi onion dip. Hypothetical. That is what I want to do. But that is not going to fill my soul back up with life. What would fill my soul back up with life is if I opened up one of the Psalms, maybe Psalm 88, if you remember from parish camp, that Mark Johnson, thank you, was talking about. But opening up one of those Psalms, reading it, and processing my terrible day with Jesus. That is what's going to fill my soul back up with life. So there's a difference between the things that I want to do and the things that I need. One last point on this. Work is good. Rest is good. They're both only good because of God. King Solomon had like the best life ever, according to the world. Tons of money, all this stuff, hundreds of wives. I don't see how that's a good thing, but anyway. He had it all, right? And do you know what he wrote in the Ecclesiastes? Everything under the sun is meaningless. All the stuff that we strive for that we think we want is actually meaningless. And what he means by that is everything is meaningless without God. Work is good and rest is good, but only because God makes it so.
Cool. So we're going to take a stock take now. In this church, we believe a lot about listening to what God is saying to us and what we're going to do about it. And to help us do the stocktake, we've got three questions. Do you mind chucking them up? Thank you, Yvonne. And we're going to take a moment in a second to reflect on these three questions. And I'm not going to get you to share with your neighbour after this, because I want you to be really honest with yourself in this. So our three questions are, do I believe that work is bad, and do I avoid rest? And the second one is, what is God inviting me to change about the way I go about my work? And thirdly, what would it look like for me to live in all my life in all its fullness? So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll have that moment now. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us about these things. Thank you, Jesus, that you made us to do good work with you, that you want to partner with us to make our worth have meaning. Pray that you also help us not return to the slavery of Egypt and rest in you, realizing that we do have enough. Bless us, Lord, as we go from this place. Amen.